I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Christina Wallace.
And I'm Kate Scott Campbell.
And you're listening to The Limit Does Not Exist,
a podcast for people who don't fit in boxes. Coming at you on the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month.
And hosted by us.
We don't fit in boxes.
No.
For one thing, we're both very tall.
And airplane seats are tricky enough.
Let alone career paths.
Anyway, want to know more about our show? Keep listening. We're going to tell you all about it in this episode.
It's our first episode.
Our very first.
This entire episode is kind of like an intro to our show.
It is. And we recorded it at South by Southwest.
We did, in the very early morning.
I think we're on our second coffee here.
Yeah, and we're like really giggly. Well, I'm really giggly.
We were excited. We are rarely ever in the same place. You can't blame us.
I know. Well, it's so true. And I also have to say that I say like way more than I'd like to, which I blame on sleep deprivation and the gold party tattoo on my wrist, so please don't count.
I won't, I promise. In this episode, we talk about how we met.
On Pi Day, no less.
Yes, and how to say what you do when you do many different things.
We also talk about what we were like in high school and why Katie Heron has superpowers.
And we introduce our first guest and the patron saint of our show, Admiral Grace Hopper. And we explain why we prefer to call her Admiral Hopper instead of Grace.
And then I call her Grace approximately 10 times.
You'll get there.
Thank you. We also reveal our AIM screen names, so you're definitely going to want to stick around to hear those.
Yep. Okay, I think it's time for the show.
Let's do it. Happy Pi Day.
Happy Pi Day.
I'm Kate.
And I'm Christina. And we are coming to you from South by Southwest.
Yes, we are looking over the Austin horizon. We saw the sunrise, which makes us probably the two people in downtown Austin
that are awake at this, yeah, at this time. It's true.
Pretty impressed. We have coffee, which is very great. Mm-hmm. And I have a gold tattoo on my wrist that says party that is upside down.
Was that the admissions stamp to get into the party last night? It was like a
no.
gold temporary tattoo?
No, I stopped by the Mashable party last night.
Okay.
And they had these tattoos by this company called Tatley. And I was like, you have a gold wristwatch tattoo?
You know those don't come off with just water. You have to use, like,
nail polish remover. And, yeah, like, take off the top layer.
I found that one out the hard way. Like, 4 years ago, I came and got an Angry Bird tattoo on my arm. And and then was asked the next day to fill in for someone who would cancel on the main stage speaking at South by Southwest. And I couldn't get it off. And so I have a photograph of me on the main stage. It was my first ever South By, and I have an Angry Bird tattoo on my arm. And a bunch of people were like, do you seriously have an Angry Bird tattoo? And I'm like, no, obviously. But bad choices were made, and now we have photo evidence to hold on to that.
But I feel like in a culture of, like, transparency, it, like, instantly humanized you.
I hope so.
Like, yes, that girl,
so.
Like, I can, that, like, somewhere inside of me is someone who could also have an Angry Birds tattoo. So I, like, all of a sudden feel like we're BFFs.
So this is my fifth South By, but this is your first,
this
right?
This is my first. I have popped my South By cherry.
Well, there you go. How are you feeling by all of the networking and the brunches and the events and, like...
Yeah, it's, so, so there's a lot of, like... brunches.
Yeah. That don't serve brunch.
Right. So I just did air quotes just to give you guys a visual. And since Christina and I are here together at the same time, which is rare.
It's true.
You were able to see that. So yeah, I mean, the main problem is, like, I feel like, is knowing when to, okay, well, there's a couple of things. Number one, feeding yourself.
Yes.
And
yes.
like, stay, because yesterday we were both at this brunch, which was fantastic.
It was an amazing event. It was all the people that I wanted to see in one place.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic.
Just all of these awesome
But
women.
I think I had a scone in 2 hours.
I know that I had a scone because I was literally in a conversation with a woman and the room, like, started floating around my head. And I was like, you are amazing and everything you're saying about gender equality, I'm totally down with.
But.
And I'll be right back. So, and then I literally just, like, found the nearest thing, which was a scone,
yeah,
and shoved it in my mouth.
Indeed. Indeed.
But yeah, so anyway, so a lot of networking.
Mm-hmm.
And so this show kind of has a lot to do with that because we were both talking about, like, well, what do we say we do?
Right.
When
right.
we're networking.
How, like, do you introduce yourself?
How do you introduce
party?
Yourself when you are a plate spinner who wears a lot of different hats?
Yeah.
I guess spinning plates and wearing hats are, like,
mixed metaphors.
Doing, yeah.
Mixed
Go
with
metaphors.
It.
Like, same purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's, like, you were, like, there are so many things I could say that I do.
Right, legitimately.
Like give me, like, a handful of things you
can say. Or you're like, do you want the 10-second version or do you want the minute version? And there's no version in between, right? Right? And the 10-second version is different depending on who I'm talking to.
Totally.
It's really difficult, right? So, you know, officially my day job is as the director of a program called Bridge Up STEM at the American Museum of Natural History. Which doesn't tell you much of anything except that I work at a science museum.
And that you're a baddie.
Well, and that I work in STEM, right? So that's in the name.
Yeah.
But then I have to be like, do I explain? It's a division of the education department. We work on computer science and science. I have both high school and middle school and post-bac and hackathons, right? And that's just the day job.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, all of my SAC projects, which I have a Trello board to keep track of just what those projects are. And even then, depending on who I'm talking to, that might not be clear. So
yeah.
So the question is, like, if I'm talking to startup people, I might say, I'm a founder of an ed tech startup inside a museum. It gives you a sense of, like, the context,
yeah,
and the environment and, like, the work that I do.
Yeah.
If I'm working
really
to people
real
at nonprofits, then I might say I'm a program director of a division of the education department. And that gives them a sense of, you know, what I do.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm talking to someone like you that does a bunch of projects, be like, hey, I you know, run this thing for computer science and girls.
Mm-hmm.
I also am getting a master's degree in computer science at NYU at night. and I do freelance content, and I'm like working on a speaking career, and I have a podcast, which you would know because you're my co-host, but like pretend you're not, right?
Wait, what?
So, but oh, no, this is being recorded. You didn't know that?
Oh, right. Headphones, mic, two and two together, math. No, but like, and if you told me, like, that's the version that I want to hear. Because
right.
I'm like, oh my God, I totally get it. Right. I have found my people.
Exactly.
Specifically one person who is a redheaded Amazon goddess.
That's me. Party of two.
But no, it's so true because if you are saying some version that doesn't resonate with mm-hmm. whoever you're talking to,
yes.
like you will get a blank stare
yes.
and like a face with a little bit of fear. Like you are an alien.
But if you say all the things, then you sound obnoxious and like you're, you know, completely taking over the conversation and they may tune out by the third thing you say.
Well, either obnoxious or like, or someone who's like can't figure out what they want to do.
Right.
Right? Like,
they're like, oh, you're a flake. And
oh,
you've got like 15 things going on.
Totally. And yeah. you're just like whizzing around, like catching butterflies in your life, you know? Yeah. So it's like figuring out how to say, no, actually, I am doing these different projects by choice.
Mm-hmm.
There's a through line in my life that I have connected that's really hard to do with mm-hmm. you, stranger,
yes.
in 10 seconds.
Yes.
But no, I mean, obviously, same with me. Like, mm-hmm. I, like, by day, I can say, well, I run communications and content at a lifestyle brand for mm-hmm. millennial women.
Right.
Great. I said that a lot yesterday because I feel like I was like, okay, that's something tangible that people mm-hmm. can latch on to.
Right. Like, okay, content communications.
Great. I'm also an actress.
Right.
Ooh, wait.
What does that mean?
What do you want from me? Who
right.
are you?
Right.
You must see a therapist all the time.
Right. Are you in anything that I've seen lately?
What have I seen
wait,
you in?
Wait for me to judge your career in one statement.
That is the worst question ever.
Like, first of all, I don't know what you watch, so I have no idea if you've seen me lately.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
Secondly,
also,
screw you.
Exactly. Also, do you go to the theater,
right.
or is that a scary place for you?
Right.
Yeah, and then I can say, ooh, and I have a nonprofit, and I made this math video.
Right.
And, you know,
yeah.
there's a lot of different
there's a lot of
things,
hands.
And I'm just working on a project. So, again, I think that we are definitely not unique in this struggle.
No, because the second I start going down the and path, there's always some, usually a woman, but not always, who's like, oh my God, me too.
Yes.
I have this thing I'm starting. I also am like sitting on the board of my friend's nonprofit. I also am in this job, which I like, but isn't necessarily all of me.
Yeah.
And like, how do I find a way to represent myself authentically as this whole like intersecting Venn diagram kind of person.
Yeah.
And, you know, thank goodness there's, you know, I'm not the only one.
Totally.
And I think part of our desire for this podcast is to emphasize, A, you are not the only one.
Totally.
There's at least the two of us.
Yeah.
And B, I think that makes us more interesting, more, you know, more capable in the 21st century approach to work and to a holistic, like really integrated life. And I think it makes us better prepared for whatever's coming next with, you know, robots and AI and whatever else, right? I have a lot of different skills and you can adapt to the future.
Totally. And as my dear friend who is an HR manager for a lot of startups said to me, she was like, I was like, oh, you know, I do this and I do this and I do this. She's like, dynamic skill set. Got it. Great.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's a sexy way to say what we do.
Oh, that is.
But yeah.
I'll have to use that on my next date.
Dynamic skill set. That is my gift to you.
Thank you.
To anyone who's listening right now. Yeah, because I think that it's really important. I know that so much of unhappiness in my professional life has come from me feeling like I need to be one thing or choose
right.
one path. When the nature of creativity is to be curious
mm-hmm.
about a lot of different things. And I think that embracing that is just like embracing anything. It's totally empowering.
Totally.
And all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I get me.
Yeah. And I love that like STEM and creativity are not mutually exclusive things. I find that that stereotype that I think a lot of the public has around STEM is that it's very dry, it's very, and by STEM, for all of you who don't know,
what is STEM, Christina?
Science, technology, engineering, mathematics. It's this acronym that like everyone's talking about, but often not defining. So we've done that for you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You know, I think a lot of people see STEM as like this really dry kind of isolation, you know, like world that might create, you know, inventions and new things, but like isn't all that creative. And that's so not true.
So not true. And I feel like, well, I mean, okay, so we have just dropped the STEM word,
yes,
which is gonna be dropped a lot on our podcast. And I feel like the way we can kind of talk about STEM is to talk about how we met.
Oh, I think that's true, because today is our one-year anniversary of being friends.
Today is our one-year BFF anniversary.
So why don't you tell them what you made last year on this day? I guess what you released on Pi Day
last year. I released on Pi Day a video called hashtag How I Do Math.
The hashtag's important.
The hashtag was important because 2015.
Yes.
Now we're 2016. Hashtags are still important.
They are.
But I released a video that is a bunch of just really beautiful women and girls talking about how they do math and how they learn. Mm-hmm. And my dear friend, Rachel Axler. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Who also knows Christina, shared my video on this amazing listserv that Rachel and Christina are both on. Mm-hmm. And then what happened?
And then I was like, wait, hold up. A woman making math content. I must meet her. P.S. Tall redhead. We should be friends.
Totally.
And so Rachel played matchmaker and arranged our first Skype date.
And it was love at first Skype.
It was.
It really was.
We, I mean, hold on. We are both actresses who like math.
Yep.
Which is amazing.
Yep.
And care very deeply about getting women and girls and everyone, frankly, everyone, to also love math. I am astounded that people in 2016 can say out loud and often in very public spaces and on platforms that get, you know, retweeted and reblogged to say, I'm not any good at math, as though that's a totally okay thing. No one ever says I'm not any good at English. They might say, like, I have trouble spelling, right? I have a hard time with semicolons.
Mm-hmm.
Legit. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to teach you how to use semicolons. But, like, math is such a big thing, and it's so beautiful, and you might struggle with arithmetic, or you may not have loved calculus,
mm-hmm.
or maybe you're just not someone who's, like, super into statistics. But that's one tiny piece of math, and math is so... Okay, first of all, for those of you who don't know, I was a math major, so I care very deeply about this.
Not for my math major, but I blame what you're talking about on Talking Barbie.
Mm.
When I was in fourth grade, Barbie came out, and she said a few things. She said party dresses are great, which they are. Like,
they
that
are.
Was, like,
true
totally
story.
True.
Yeah.
Like, Barbie, I back you up, girl.
Yeah.
And then she also said math class is tough.
Yeah.
Now, I don't blame Barbie. I blame a lot of other things.
Legit. And to be fair, math class can be tough for a lot of people.
Well,
but
yes.
it doesn't mean, A, you should give up, or B, that we should, like, completely make it okay that we have an entire segment of our population that is scared of math, right? It's not even that I'm angry they can't do it. I'm angry that they're scared of it and that it intimidates them and they see a number and they run away. So math is one of the platforms that I love, to the extent that, let me be clear, I have a math tattoo, which was part of my opening
which
bid.
I just saw yesterday.
To Rachel Axler. I was like, I need to meet her because I have a math tattoo, as though those things are related.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Did she not share that with you?
Wait, no. No,
oh,
I do remember
God.
That.
Yeah.
I think just because I had never seen the math tattoo,
indeed,
I felt like
indeed.
I was discovering it for the first time.
So it's a Fibonacci spiral. Fibonacci is this famous Italian mathematician with, you might have remembered, the Fibonacci sequence, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. It goes on indefinitely. But each number is the sum of the two numbers before it. If you read the Da Vinci Code, this might sound familiar.
Oh my gosh, I never read the Da Vinci Code.
It was the secret code when he's trying to, like, break into the Swiss account or something.
Okay, Dan Brown.
Yeah,
get
exactly.
Your math on.
You know, popularizing math. I can't hate it too much. They, of course, cut the Fibonacci part from the movie, so I'm angry about that. But, you know, Fibonacci had this great sequence, and the sequence itself approximates phi as you go to the limit, where the bigger number divided by the number right before it is phi, which is my favorite irrational number. So today is Pi Day, which we've covered, March 14th, 314.
Yes.
And that's great. And yay that Pi Day has made its way into public consciousness. But I would postulate that phi is better as an irrational number.
I totally forgot to mention that as Christina emailed me, I totally Googled her as much as one can Google somebody, because that 2016 still happens. and found this amazing video of you talking about phi,
which,
by the way, you're going to be doing in like a few hours.
I am. I'm doing a repeat of my phi talk at South By. The talk is called Phi is My Favorite Irrational Number, and it should be yours too.
Great title.
Thank you. Thank you. I try to be very explicit.
I know what that talk is
about. You know, it's 5 minutes of solid gold, I would like to say, about irrational numbers. You know, E, pi, there's root 2. Did you know there was a mathematical murder over the existence of root 2? You might not know this, although you saw my talk, so you do.
No, but I know that you... that's right. And I also know that your talk ends with a very, very almost violent mic drop. Because you've just schooled everyone on phi, including me,
including you, who was
not a math major.
You know?
But and actually for quite some time was very much like, well, yeah, why would I pursue math if I'm like talking about the mysteries of the world in my English class?
Right.
And so majored in theater and English. Oh, and also like, you know, doing ridiculous things on a stage in front of people. Kind of fun.
It is legitimately fun. I was also a theater major. I couldn't choose.
That's right. I don't have to convince you.
You don't have to convince me.
No, I'm preaching to the theater major fellow choir.
Indeed. Talking about mixed metaphors.
But when I graduated and moved to New York and was a terrible, terrible waitress, because when you are this tall and you're holding a tray
full of... Your center of gravity is so much higher.
My nickname was BG for broken glass. Oh. Let's just leave it at that. I also worked as a cocktail waitress at a place where the tables were a foot off the ground.
No.
So I was like constantly like elevatoring myself up and down with like while wearing a kimono. Anyway. Anyway, so I started tutoring and thought that I would just be like an English tutor. Mm-hmm. But of course, my first student was a 16-year-old girl who was struggling in geometry because she was like, what does this have to do with my life?
Right.
I don't get it. I learned differently. And she was, of course, whip smart. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with her level of intelligence. Mm-hmm. And then once I started working with her, I just became a magnet for girls in math, which made it very, very clear that, A, I was a little bit unique in being this creative person who was talking about math and had to relearn it so I could kind of talk about it in a way that was completely fluid based on the girl that I was working with.
Sure.
And that there just happened to be a ton of girls who are really, really smart, but who were like, I am just not vibing with this at all, you know? So anyway, that kind of gives a little bit of a light where, like, much more will hopefully be shed.
Indeed.
On how we met. So we met. So we had love at first Skype.
We did.
And then we kind of kept in touch. And then you were out in L.A.
And we swung by JPL.
I mean, Christina is the kind of instant friend who invites you to be her plus one on a private tour of JPL for 3 hours. And, like, has no qualms about doing
it. I mean, if you're going to go to NASA, you should have a sidekick.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
I will sidekick your NASA any moment in the
time. We might need to put that on a future t-shirt for this podcast. I will sidekick your NASA.
NASA, you're welcome. I think we own the trademark on that. Our lawyers are working on that.
No, I mean, I think one of the things that I found a kindred spirit in you is this sort of intersecting Venn diagram approach to life. And, you know, I have all of these students that come into a program for computer science and science. And it's almost like they've got this, you know, the secret that they don't want to say out loud. It's like this half whisper that they're like, I love science. I love computer science. P.S. I also really like drawing. Or like, I also really like English class.
The horror.
Yeah. Or I kind of like sports, too. Don't tell anybody. And yeah. I was like, that's totally awesome. And you can do all of the things, right? I am a classically trained musician on three instruments. I was an actress and a director. I also love political science, physics, computer science, mm-hmm. and like all of the things, right? There's this natural curiosity that is intersecting lots of different disciplines, mm-hmm. and you don't have to pick one. You don't have to put yourself in a box and put a label on it and say, I am blank, especially at 16, but even at 36, right? You don't have to decide where you fit, and that's all you ever get to be. And I saw this kindred spirit who, you know, this approach to life is just and, you know, and not or. And
totally.
I love that.
I love that, too. And, you know, we can both say that we have our feet in STEM. You mm-hmm. also have an MBA.
Mm-hmm. No big deal.
I happen to have an MFA.
Which I always wanted. I'm a little jealous you have one.
Oh, my God. I always wanted an MBA.
There you go.
Can we just, like,
cut our diplomas in half and share?
Yes. Yes. Wait a minute. I feel like that's a great metaphor for who we are. You live in New York.
I do.
I live in
LA.
I'm like, Christina, fill in the blank. This is a fun game.
We just, you know, we sit across lots of different worlds, and yet this like intersection is where we found each other.
Totally. So. And we're both really down with that. And we
hope that you, all of our listeners, identify in some way with that overlapping Venn diagram thing.
Yeah, and that even if you say like, oh, good, oh my God, thank God, I don't have to just pick this one thing.
Right.
And
I don't just have to be a marketer.
No, I don't just have to be a marketer. And the fact that you, that there is something in our culture that makes us feel like we have to decide that when we are still a teenager. And also figuring out, like, what boys are.
Right.
Like, that blows my mind.
It's true. Which is, you know, I think kind of apropos as to how we titled this show.
Totally.
Speaking of high school.
Yeah.
In case we haven't said it out loud yet, welcome to The Limit Does Not Exist.
The Limit Does Not Exist.
Which we can't really say just in normal voice. You have to say in Katie Heron, The Limit Does Not Exist!
The Limit Does Not Exist!
Would you like to explain that reference, Kate,
yes.
since you're the one that titled the show?
I feel like when I just said that, thank you for just giving some credit there.
Oh my God.
It was a joint effort.
No, it was a moment of genius. I was reading through all of our options, and I was like, no. And like, let me clear, I was reading the options that I added to the list, and I was like, none of these are working. And then I just saw that you had added The Limit Does Not Exist, and I was like, yes.
I actually like very like sneakily like slipped it in.
It's true. It wasn't the top.
Over
it wasn't the
weekend,
bottom. It was just like hanging
out
in the middle.
Like, the limit does not exist. So Mean Girls reference. It's the point in the film where Katie Heron, who's on the math team.
Yeah, mathletes.
It's like sudden death in the math competition.
Yeah.
And it's two girls facing off, right?
Right, which is a little bit annoying because each team picked who they thought was the weakest. And they each picked, quote,
oh God,
the totally girl.
They totally picked the girl. So there was pre-breakdown Lindsay Lohan, who
right.
was very cute.
It was her best film, as far as I'm concerned.
And that, she was great. I mean, Parent Trap was pretty amazing.
No, but Mean Girls was better.
But you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, she might have been even more spunky in Parent Trap, but you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm on board with you.
Yeah.
So the girl that she was facing off with, if you, our listeners, don't remember, was like, classic, what would like a nerdy math girl look like? I think they like added a unibrow
and a snaggle tooth.
And really made her hair look
but
like
whoever was doing costumes and makeup, bless them, great job on the rest of the film. But I was annoyed by the stereotype. I mean, as a member of the Mathletes for 2 years of high school, including,
yes,
let me be clear, placing second at state, I'm very proud of our math team. And let me just back up here. I went to an arts high school, a performing arts
totes gels
boarding
so
school called Interlochen Arts Academy. The only team we had at Interlochen, literally the only team, was the math team because we're theater and music and creative writing majors. Like, we don't play sports.
That sounds like
and
not the band, the place.
we had a math team. And the math team was really good.
It sounds like you guys were no slouches.
We were no slouches. We have trophies and medals and t-shirts. Thank you. And we were all lovely people. Majority women, girls, by the way.
Wow.
And we have social skills and we know how to pluck our unibrow. And I was annoyed. I was annoyed that Katie Heron got to be cool and pretty and that the other girl had to be the stereotype. And to all the mathletes out there, I salute you. That's this other thing. But it comes in that moment. The two girls are facing off.
That's right.
Sudden death. This is going to determine who wins the math championship.
That's right.
And Snaggletooth Girl gets it wrong.
She does. She gets one or zero.
Yeah, yeah. Because they're like, what's the limit? And she's like, I don't know. It has an answer.
Yeah.
And she was wrong.
And then Katie Heron's like, the limit does not exist. Wait, no. Before she says that, she's like, okay, Katie. And she tracks back and you see,
Aaron Samuel.
Oh my God.
It was the day that he got banged.
Sitting in front of her. Oh, the day that Aaron got banged.
Yes.
I mean, like,
and then she had to like erase the image of him in her mind so she could see what was on the board behind him.
Which always actually kind of confused me. I'm like, somehow she has also X-ray vision,
and she could see what was on the board.
Which makes her even more amazing.
Behind Aaron Samuels.
And then she sees Tina Fey,
yep.
Bless, amazing math teacher/comedy writer, because movies are real.
Yeah, true.
And she's standing up at the board, and you see like these gray, curves, and like going off into the infinite space.
Mm-hmm.
And
she realizes this particular one, the limit does not exist.
The limit does not exist.
Yes.
And then everyone cheers, mm-hmm. and I think, some kid might take his shirt off. I don't know why that's an image.
All I know is they wore their, winning jackets to the prom.
To the prom.
I did appreciate that.
Yeah, totally. And then doesn't Katie become prom queen?
Yeah.
Yeah, then there's, a whole, okay.
Yeah. Sharing of the tiara.
Anyway.
I just thought it was the perfect title for this because A, math, limits.
A, math.
Thank you.
STEM.
B, mean girls.
Be it mean girls. We certainly both have pop culture love.
Indeed.
And borderline obsession.
But also see this notion in the sort of meta commentary that the limit doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. That any limit that is placed on you, you are totally allowed to say, I don't think that has to be there, and figure out a
Hold,
way.
Hold, please. I'm going to step around.
Hold, please. I'll be right back while I change the world.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Christina, I'm so jealous of your high school experience, because I went to this huge, huge high school. I'd gone to an all-girls school up until eighth grade, and then I went to this huge high school that had been all boys until a few years before I went. And then they allow girls in. Thank you. You're welcome. But my high school was totally the opposite. It was very sports driven. There were many, many teams.
Oh, wow.
Not a math team. And it was very much like down to where you sat at lunch every day, you had to pick one place.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So I was like,
that
I was one
awful.
Of three girls. It was literally the worst. I literally can't even with my high school. OMG. Plus, you have me who was like in an incubator with 42 girls for 8 years before that. And then I go to this massive place and also incredibly late in my blooming. I'd like to think that I still haven't bloomed.
We're late bloomers.
But yes.
Let's just be clear.
Let's just be clear.
The photos even from college, I try to keep out of sight.
But yeah, but I was one of three girls in my Calc BC class, which I always attribute to like the fact that I was just like very type A and people pleaser. But I just was like, oh, I have to kind of, if I do the play, it's weird if I also do track. It's weird if I talk about math. I kind of have to pick one thing. And I guess it's this, you know, the theater humanities thing. And that just, like I said before, is I finally had a light bulb a number of years later that like, that's preposterous.
Yeah.
That I would A, have to choose one thing, and B, that would shape my entire life, which hopefully from the point of 16 will be at least 100 years, because I would like to live far into the future.
Google's working on that. Don't worry about it.
Thank you. I know. Thank you to everyone who's invested in that. But I just,
you know, that was a big revelation for me. That was like, wow, you don't have to, just because you have found yourself in a certain culture of believing one way, that you can really forge your own path. Now, that might be a little tricky. It might be hard to find mentors if no one has done the exact path that you've looked like. It might be tough to find a roadmap. But that's part of the creative challenge, too. And that's
true.
Really
it's
exciting.
Also part can be hard to figure out how to keep one foot in all these different worlds, and especially as you're thinking about maybe focusing on one area for a little while, how do you keep your network strong in some of the other areas? I worked in theater, I worked in opera, I got an MBA, and then was in tech, and now I'm kind of in this education, nonprofit world, and like, how do I keep my, not just my network, because that often sounds kind of sleazy, and like, just what do I get out of it,
yeah,
but how do I keep my
tribe,
friends? How do I
community.
Keep my tribe? Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, stay up to date with what's going on, make sure that I can participate in this conversation.
And how do you also self-care and sleep at night and, and have a social life? I'm saying this so I remember to
right,
do this
right,
thing.
Right. No,
just
good,
putting
good
it out.
Put on the Trello
ether.
Board. No, it's true. It's like, it's so one of the things that we really want to get to with this show is not just who are the awesome people doing some of this work, how do we learn from their lives or talk to them and hear their stories, but also, like, what are the actionable tips and tricks that we can steal in order to, you know, kind of live your best life, if you want to go all Martha Stewart on this.
Totally. I'll go Martha.
Yeah, exactly. And really be able to have all the pieces that make you feel like a whole person instead of having to kind of two-dimensionalize yourself moving forward.
Yeah, exactly, because you're right. There are tips and tricks. A few of them I feel like I have discovered. Many of them I'm excited to on the show. We're going to be doing a lot of brain picking.
Indeed.
But yeah, I think too, you're right. If you're doing, it is a balance. It is, if you've got a lot of plates that are spinning around in circles that you are balancing. Yeah, there's ways to, how do I shine a light on one for a little while and then shift? And what does that look like? So yeah, we're going to be exploring all of that and figuring out how to be in and not or,
exactly,
which Wallace gets full credit for.
You know, I'm pretty sure I stole it from someone else. So,
well, good job stealing. What
Thank
did Picasso
you.
Say?
It's
you know,
all of it.
About stealing makes great artists, something. There's
something.
A quote.
There's a
yeah,
quote.
Which, when used in the right way, I get, it could also probably be totally.
So I think now is probably a good time to bring up our Twitter handle, which is relevant to our patron saint of The Limit Does Not Exist.
Yes.
Because we want to hear from you guys. We want you to send us questions or people that you think we should interview or whatnot. And
yeah,
this is, again, an all credit goes to Kate on this. What's our Twitter handle, Kate?
At Admiral Hopper.
Indeed.
Well,
indeed.
Actually, I have to say, this is a complete split credit. Christina, you're so good at giving credit, and I'm going to give it right back to
Aww.
You. Because we were talking about Her Lady Grace. That will be the only time that I actually say her first name. Because why, Christina?
Because you don't know Grace.
Her you don't is, know Grace, girl!
Her name is Admiral Grace Hopper, and she is like everything, everything. She,
who is Admiral Grace?
Admiral Grace Hopper.
Hopper.
Is,
I said Grace again.
You did, but, you know,
name.
in the full context of her title, I think it's appropriate. So, Admiral Hopper was this, I don't even have words. So, she was the first PhD in math from Yale that went to a woman.
Yep.
Literally the first.
Yeah.
And this is kind of crazy because this is back in like the 30s and the 40s. And she was this incredible math professor at Vassar like a decade.
And such an incredible math professor.
An incredible professor.
That she was like bringing in brand new things. The faculty members are like freaking out. They're like, wait, you can't do that. She's like, but math has to be interesting. She was an amazing teacher.
Well, so she audited like 10 different subjects while she was at Vassar because she was so curious. She wanted to sit in on all of these different subjects, science, architecture, like all of these things, crazy things, zoology, and then brought a lot of that into her math class. In addition to, by the way, often her first assignment was a writing assignment, which annoyed a lot of her students because they're like, I thought this was a math class. Why do I have to write? And she was like, if you can't communicate about math, then there's no point in learning math.
That's exactly right. She's like, if you just know math, not enough.
You've
got to be able to communicate it and apply it.
But she was such a badass. These classes that normally would have like a dozen students were packed to the gills. It was like 75 students fighting to get into her classes.
Yep.
And
yep.
then Droves. World War II happens.
Yep. Pearl Harbor.
And Pearl Harbor. And she's like, you know what? I want to serve my country. So she leaves Vassar. She divorces her husband, which was, you know, kind of a big deal in those days.
Yeah.
And joins the Navy.
Joins the Navy.
And goes off to the Harvard Computational Center, where she's the only woman. Mm-hmm. And she is on the forefront for developing what is known as computer programming now.
I mean, apparently, I don't know if this is true, but that she is attributed to the word bug, like having a bug.
Yes. Well, it was a moth in the hardware.
Oh,
and in like this giant computer, they're trying to figure out why it wasn't running, and they found a moth, and she took it out and taped it to her notebook.
I mean,
as part of her notes for the day of like, we found this bug, and that's, you know, so she's just amazing.
OG
we're going to talk about her so much more in the show. We only have a few minutes to get into this, but we're going to mention the book that a lot of our favorite quotes come from.
So Christina calls me and she's like, Kate, oh my gosh, I have highlighted this manual.
It's true.
And dog-eared it.
I have.
So what's the book?
It's this great new biography called Grace Hopper and the Invention of the Information Age. It's by this guy, Kurt Beyer.
Personally know, and also he's not a sponsor of our show. But Kurt, hi, if you're listening.
Hi, Kurt.
We think you're the tops.
He is a former professor at the U.S. Naval Academy.
Yeah.
He's a naval historian.
Yes.
So it's this really fantastic biography. First of all, he dispels from the very beginning this notion that, like, Grace did it all, right? We all know that individuals do not typically create these giant, you know, huge inventions and shifts, right? It's usually teams.
As we saw at
JPL. And, you know, there's a lot of people that worked alongside Grace all the way through. And she gave them so much credit all the way through as well. But we, as a society, really like to pick the one person and sort of put them on the pedestal as the lone
genius.
Wolf. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, this is something that I loved, right? So I have begun to forge my way through mm-hmm. this book. Mm-hmm. But what I loved that Kurt, I hope we're on a first name basis, talked about at the beginning is the genre of biography.
Yeah.
So he was like, what actually blew my mind, even though I was an English major, was I had never thought about biography as a genre, right? Mm-hmm. That in writing a biography of somebody, you have to, you know, really kind of create a linear path of a life that might have not been linear at all.
Right.
And in Grace's case, certainly wasn't.
Right.
And so it's really easy when you're reading biographies of people to be like, oh, yeah, oh, my gosh, it just all made sense. All the dots connected, and therefore, why aren't my dots connecting?
Right.
So something must be wrong with
me,
you know? And instead of being like, oh, there was a lot of struggle here at some point, I mean, you know, the fact that, like, I just want to know, what was the situation when Admiral Hopper just, like, before she was an admiral, said, honey, this isn't working. I gotta go be me.
Yeah.
I gotta go do...
Well, because she never remarried.
No,
right?
She never
remarried. This was unheard of in the 40s and 50s.
I know.
She was in her 30s.
I know. She was. She was 36.
She was 36. College professor. Had been married for, I don't know, a decade or so. And then just, like, decided...
Totally.
This isn't working. Got divorced and never remarried. And never really had, as far as the book can tell, you know, a romantic... connections that she really kind of poured herself into her work, which, you know, became a problem later in life. She developed some alcoholism that she struggled with and some depression. She had a suicide attempt. And I think I loved this that came out in the book. And he doesn't say that to make us love her less. So we're not trying to, like, you know, demean this amazing figure, but to humanize her and to reflect that even someone as amazing Grace, Admiral Hopper, you know, struggled and had personal demons and worked through them, and that it's okay that lesser geniuses also have those moments.
Yeah.
And I really loved him for humanizing her, because I think we look at these figures like Steve Jobs and Warren Buffett and Admiral Hopper, and we put them on pedestals and we say, you know, they're exceptional and, you know, they're able to do all these things. And it was all them. it was not all Steve Jobs that created Apple, let's be clear.
Well, yeah.
And then, you know, we like put these standards up there that no one else feels like they can ever live up to. And so I loved calling out, you know, a lot of Grace's success, a lot of Admiral Hopper's success came from her collaborative working style.
So, yeah, so this is the thing that blew my mind in the book when Kurt said, you know, she was so good at reading the room, at collaborating. And now, granted, like, she was collaborating with a bunch of men, and she really did, like, drink with the boys.
Yeah.
Like, just, she really was able to kind of talk their language, which is something that I'm sure we'll be delving into mm-hmm. in the future, because, like, very hot topic, right? Like, how do you relate to the men and women in your office? But the fact that she was so collaborative... Mm-hmm. Kurt makes this great point where he says that actually much more than her rebellious nature, because mm-hmm. if we're path forgers, we definitely have rebellion inside of us, which totally. Is awesome. But it was her cooperation mm-hmm. and collaboration. Cooperation, I know, is a heated word, but it was like sure. her ability to kind of like get down with who she was with mm-hmm. actually afforded her to be able to be really independent in her workflow. Like, she
yes.
was able to create an environment where she was able to like completely wrangle who she was with mm-hmm. to change the world. And that really is something that for a long time I thought, based on that Steve Jobs, you know, biography, lone mm-hmm. genius model, like, I gotta do it all by myself.
Yeah.
When in fact, that is like a myth that I really hope that we can do some work on dispelling
totally.
On our show.
Totally. Unfortunately, we are out of time for today, but
gosh.
Don't you worry. We're coming back to Admiral Hopper and to this
yeah.
fabulous book. There's so much more to discuss.
We will
post this book with
totally.
Our show notes
we're
on
have,
the Forbes website.
That's right. We're gonna have
along
those,
with,
those things.
I'm insisting we post the 11 Buddies, How I Do Math.
Love that. And the Phi video. Actually might be a new Phi video today.
There might be. We will see.
There might be. We'll see if we can make that happen. As well as the crucial clip from Mean Girls mm-hmm. of Lilo saying the limit does not exist.
So we'll put all of this up on our show notes page if you want to read more, learn more, read alongside us, you know.
We would
Grace
love
Hopper
that.
Book club.
Yeah, first book of the Limit Does Not Exist book club, officially. And if you have personal passion and love of Grace Hopper, if you find out any, or I should say Admiral Hopper,
mm-hmm. we'll break
with
you
practice
that.
Comes perfection, mm-hmm. even though perfection isn't real. Anyway,
it's not.
Whole other topic. But tweet at
Admiral Hopper.
Let us know. Let us know what you think.
Or you can tweet at us personally.
I am Campbell, Kate with a C.
Kate with a C. Unlike the Starbucks guy wrote on your cup this morning.
They always do. I've given over to that.
I understand.
I'll pick my battles.
And I am at CM Walla, which you're like, what is that about, Christina?
CM Walla Walla.
Christina Marie Walla. CM Walla. It was the email address I had in college at Emory. That's how they shortened our names. First initial, middle
yes.
initial, and like a portion of your last name. And so I've embraced it. It's my handle on like all social media.
I love it.
And I have a little necklace
that's
at CM Walla. Because I'm a tech nerd.
I'm thinking about bringing my AIM handle back from high school.
Tell me, what was it?
It was CDog147DAWG.
You're
welcome.
You yeah. want to know what mine was? And then we'll wrap this up.
What was, is the good note to end on?
Artsy Gal 007.
Yes, it was. Bond. Christine
Gal,
Bond.
Of course. Of course. Oh, my goodness. This was such a fun
So much fun.
Episode.
You know what? It was so worth it waking up before everyone else at South by Southwest.
I am off in search of some pie, which might take the form of quiche at this early morning. But,
so smart.
Still,
me too.
You know,
let's go find some pie. Happy,
a slice of pie.
Happy pie day, everyone.
And if you want to celebrate Phi alongside me...
That's right.
Then,
I need today.
You know, you can do that. Well, January 6th.
Okay. So we'll see you then, too.
We'll get there. In any case, thanks guys.
Time.
We'll see you next time.
Bye. As I said, very giggly and a high like count.
Don't sweat it, CDog147.
Oh, thanks, Artsy Girl 007.
Oh, you got it. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in to our very first episode.
Yes, we're so happy you hung out with us. By the way, our theme song is by Broke for Free, and our outro song in this episode is by Blank and Kit.
Tune in again in 2 weeks when we talk with NASA engineer Bob Ackford-Alsey, a.k.a. the Mohawk Guy.
I really can't wait for that.
Me either. See you later.
Bye.
I
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.